Amen. Father, we just praise you and we glorify you and we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night, Lord. These are great times we're in, Father, and we just thank you for anointing us and everyone else in this fellowship with happiness and joy and peace because of what's coming. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that everyone that comes into fellowship tonight will be given absolute surrender to you. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we're not going to do anything or anybody that would put you in a bad light, Lord, and I would disobey or anything like that. We're going to stay right on the straight and the narrow. And I thank you, Father, for your words. We thank you for your angels that are giving us truth. And we praise you, Father, for the great and wonderful time we're coming into right now. And Lord, we thank you that I know that blessings are going to be poured out in a magnificent way to those who are obedient to the word. And we praise you, Father, for all the, open heaven that we have. And we thank you, Lord, that everybody here has great bold faith to believe that when we pray, things happen. People get healed and get delivered and set free. And we praise you, Father, for a wonderful night with you. In Jesus' name, you're a great, merciful, and mighty God. And we praise you, Father, for all the testimonies that we're going to hear tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Praise God forevermore. Anybody got a praise report or a prayer request? I'm sorry. Yeah, Nick.
Yeah, we put a transmission in my mom's car, and we're going to get it programmed tomorrow. So I'm just hoping it works.
Well, I'll tell you what we can do.
Because it doesn't have reverse right now.
I'll tell you what we can do. We can pray and believe that it's going to work, and it's going to work till Jesus comes back. In Jesus' name, we pray that right now, Father. We thank you that your mechanic angels are already on the job, checking it out and fixing anything that may or may not be right. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. It's done. So now you don't say hope no more. You say it is.
It is.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. It's fixed, Nick. Now you'll be able to take Mama's car out anytime you need to. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? How about a testimony? Ooh, 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 ooh. I got one. My grandson Blake was in the hospital doing all kinds of weird stuff and manifesting and all kinds of things. And then I asked the Lord, you know, I knew what he's going to say, but I asked to get some specifics. And he told me what to do. And I prayed against it. And I started praising God and worshiping God. And I had commanded the angels to get him out of that hospital because they had already nothing wrong with his lungs. They stuck a ventilator down him first thing he got in the hospital. Nothing wrong with him. And I knew right then, I said, we got to get him out of there. So I started praying. And I said, Lord, I don't care what you got to do to get him out of there, but get him out of there. Well, he walked out of there in his own power this morning after I prayed last night that God would heal him, get him up out of the bed. They took the ventilator out, and he walked out of that hospital this morning and went and found a friend that took her. She's an LPN. That's a nurse. A nurse, and she took him to her house. She knew him and her mama, and I told the Lord. I said, Lord, have him call me. This was this morning. I said, have him call me just as soon as he can, because I got all kinds of phone calls from the family. He walked out of the hospital. I said, he'll call me. Don't worry, man. He'll be all right. And when 10 minutes later, he called me. And he said, I'm okay. Told me he was at his friend's house, and she was an LPN. So he's got to stay there for 5 days in order to not show any signs of seizures. Of course, I bound those and cast them out of him. He doesn't have that anymore. And I've been praising God all morning for that. He hadn't had one all day. He's not going to have one again forever in the name of Jesus. And then Sunday, he's going up to a camp that he needs to be in for a while. It's a faith-based camp, and I understand it's one of the best in Arkansas. So he's going to be up there for about anywhere from 7 months to a year. But I believe it's going to be shorter than that because he's coming out here. I know that for a fact. So praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful prayer answers. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else got a testimony? Yeah, Joe.
Well, this morning it actually manifested, but what is it? Yesterday? Yes, yesterday morning, bright and early, 1 a.m. in the morning. I had a dream, and basically I was in a, it looked like a theater, but it was actually a airplane. And it looked like the airplane had like stadium seating, not like the normal, you know, just rows going from front to back. And I'm literally just like walking all over the place. I'm pretty worried in the dream. I'm just running, you know, I mean, walking around up and down the stadium seats, just kind of, you know, I wouldn't say frantic, but I just really worried, you know, just and I wasn't wearing a shirt. And I had khakis and nice dress shoes on. And I even had a backpack on. And I'm just walking around and I'm seeing all these people. They were really wearing like dress clothes, you know, for something special. And so I remember running into my, at first of the first part of the dream, I remember running into my mother's ex-husband, recent ex-husband, Tom is his name. And so he's kind of grabbing at me, you know, to get my attention. And so I'm pulling away from him. And then I remember I called him a really bad name. And I just kind of pulled away and ran off and just started, you know, running around the plane. And so I'm running around. And I think I'm running into people I knew. I mean, off the top of my head, I don't really remember, but I mean, people were seeing me, you know, trying to greet me and I'm just walking around. I'm too worried, you know, just to kind of, I'm trying to look for my luggage, get a shirt, you know, cause I don't have a shirt and all these people are like clothed, but I'm sitting there running around. And then eventually, at the end of the dream, I remember, you know, my mother's ex-husband, Tom, you know, he's kind of seated up top and he looks down at me, you know, I guess you could say, you know, smiling in a kind of antagonizing way, just, you know, waving at me. And I end up flipping him the middle finger. So I'm looking at, you know, and I just keep walking. And then eventually the dream ends. And so, you know, I kind of go through the day and I remember posting on Signal. I asked, hey, you know, I had a dream here. Can anybody help me? You know, anyone have a interpretation or, you know, what do you see? And then later in the day, I got one. And so basically it was, you know, I mean, there was something about unforgiveness in there. You know, those were some unforgiving actions I gave towards my, you know, father-in-law at the time. And then the no shirt was, I was without a wedding garment and it, you know, it was an airplane. So, I mean, it was basically everybody on there who was striving to be in the bride, you know, they were all dressed in wedding attire is what it looked like. And so my shoes and my pants and the khakis I wore was, you know, I guess it signified I had a good walk with the Lord. But within, I mean, I think within the shirt, I remember hearing, you know, they were saying that because of unforgiveness, I was without a wedding garment. So, you know, that was kind of still in my heart. And so that was pretty much the gist of it. I think the backpack represented, you know, the weight of that sin on me. You know, I mean, it just with a backpack, there's a lot of weight on you. And so, you know, I was kind of bearing that weight, you know, the whole time. And so I was just thinking, okay. So I was... I accepted that, you know, I said, okay, sure. You know, the Lord's trying to tell me something here. There's still a little bit of unforgiveness. I thought I dealt with it recently because he's been dealing with me the last, couple weeks or so, you know, just, I mean, really dealing with it, really not just kind of putting it off and dealing with the issue of unforgiveness in my life. And just this morning, actually, you know, woke up from my normal prayer and study time. And so towards the end, I remember just, I think I was listening to some worship music, you know, and just the enemy was trying to hit me with a recent interaction with a HR lady I work with, who just, you know, who's always rubbed me the wrong way. You know, the Lord used her in a way to rub me, just cause a lot of issues with me, you know, and there's been some flare ups from my part, you know, towards her. And so eventually, you know, recently there was another situation where she was kind of in, you know, trying to push my buttons, and I was, you know, she got a bit of a, you know, a reaction out of me at the time. And so I was, the enemy was trying to bring that up and is trying to get me to fall into unforgiveness again. I said, no, we're not going to do this again. So I was doing spiritual warfare and attacking the enemy, and eventually just, you know, cause I mean, I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, I'm not going back here. You know, I'm not going back to unforgiveness. You know, I've forgiven her, you know, and I'm praying and I'm just confessing, no, Lord, I don't have any unforgiveness towards her. You know, and I'm praying for her. And immediately I just start yawning real wide. You know, I got this major yawn happening, and then I know it, you know, something good. I start coughing, you know, cause usually when I cough, it means like, you know, I guess like the Lord's trying to really push something out of me, you know, from my experience. And so basically I'm sitting there coughing and yawning like crazy. And then I just start praising the Lord. Cause I mean, I just felt this peace come over me. And I remember just kind of weeping before the Lord, like, wow, thank you, Lord. I'm telling him, thank you. I'm free from this, Lord. Totally free from unforgiveness. You know, I don't have any other issues. And so I'm worshiping. There was a singer, Jeremy Camp was his name, you know, and his song called Overcome. I was listening to that song, just, you know, thanking the Lord, worshiping the Lord for freeing me from unforgiveness. You know, that last little bit. So I thought, yeah, thank you, Lord. I'm done with it. No more. I'm totally free from it. I don't have any other, you know, unforgiveness in my heart. And I think I was tempted today, but I knew it was the flesh. I said, no, you don't have any more hold over me. So.
Praise God.
That's right. So,
praise
yep.
God.
Thank you, the Lord, for that. Yes.
Now, it may try to come back on you, but all you have to do is just rebuke it, you know. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. You've been battling that for a long time, brother. Praise God, it's gone. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Vanita.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, Joel, for sharing that. That was an awesome testimony. The dream and how it all came together, that's just awesome. So thank you. I just, the last couple of days, well, since my car wasn't working, I thought I had to buy a new car and didn't have the money to buy it. And so I'm like, where am I going to get the money? You know, trying to figure it out. And I worked at General Motors for many years, so I have a pension. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll just take all my pension. So my husband's looking into it, and I'm like, I don't know if I should do this or not. And just going back and forth and wasn't sure. So I talked to some very beloved brothers and sisters out there and got some good feedback. And part of the feedback from everybody was, you know, seek the Lord's advice, go to him and find out what he wants you to do. So I was praying about that. And today I heard a message that was just exactly and directly to the point, right to what I needed to hear. And it was just amazing. So I've made my decision what I'm going to do, and that's all working out. But it's just through that, I just, you know, just being in the world so much and being raised in the world and just thinking that, you know, here I had this huge blessing of working for a great company and I had all this money saved up, and that's just the perfect situation, you know, in this world. And now that I'm in the kingdom though, you know, I don't have a lot of kingdom people around me. I mean, I have all you guys, you know, but they're not like right here and giving me advice or telling me the right things to do or the wrong things and telling me this is good or bad. I don't know. And so it was just, it's like somehow, just talking to people in the kingdom and getting that other perspective that's not worldly was just such a help to me, because I wish I was there with everybody, because I need that more. I need them. I need you guys around me all the time. And so just praise the Lord for wisdom and for the Lord just guiding me in the situation. And I just want to just get agreement that, Frank's having, he's okay with me taking the money out. That was not a problem. But what I'm going to use the money for, he's a little worried about. He's like, you're just going to give it all away. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I'm not going to just do this. But I told him today, I said, whatever I do, I'm not going to do without your guidance, because you're my head and I won't do anything without you. So I can promise you that. I don't want to make promises, but anyways, you know what I mean.
So
just praying that he'll be in agreement with everything that I want to do with the money that I get.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, anyone else got a testimony or praise report or just want to pray? Then let me ask a question. Is there anyone in this group right here that did not receive my email today? You know what the question I'm going to ask, don't you, Pat? Did you check your email? Okay, that's great, because I just made these groups up the other day and I was praying that I would have everybody's email in there. And that's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Except for Pat, we don't know about him. Vanita, you didn't? I know you were in there because I saw your name. Look in your spam or your junk mail or your trash.
You know, Michael, I went through and deleted tons of emails today, but I wouldn't have deleted yours. I know it, but I wonder if it got stuck in a mass of deletions. That might be.
Okay, let's see. That's a different one than I have, Patrick.
I make a correction. I did get it. It's not just a blurb. It's a long one, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. It says at the top, I don't know what it says. I didn't do the whole thing. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read what I sent you, and then I'm going to ask if there's any questions about it. What I'm fixing to read to you is what the Lord wants done with UBM Local, UBM Worldwide. This is the Lord speaking through these angels. We're the messengers. Remember that. That's all right. All right. As for the ministry's financial needs, Baruch, that's the angel of the Lord, said our great God is bringing back the first century Book of Acts church operations. Everyone who has partaken in the blessings that UBM has bestowed upon their lives are commanded to sell all things of value that do not pertain to life and sustenance. All things that were purchased or obtained for the purposes of fulfilling the wants and desires of the flesh, and to contribute any excess of monies that have been hoarded up for retirement living, or children, or children's children, or that has been clung to as a safety net or a crutch, so as to avoid a true walk of faith in the daily provisions of your Father. Do not, and he's got NOT, in capitals B, and Ananias or a Sapphira, saying, I have given all, and yet you lie to yourselves and the elders. He said, all will be supplied from the same pot. Every saint of UBM will have some skin in the game. Everyone who has power over their own belongings and monies will now be responsible to shoulder the burden for UBM and her support. Do not say within your hearts, I have given plenty, and therefore I am justified before God. This is God speaking. Now remember that. Let others step up and give. None among the children of Israel, when they gathered the manna, were left with more than their day's portion. Those who gathered little and those who gathered much ended up with just what they needed for that day. And this is how it is commanded to be among you. From this day forward, many more will be joining themselves to you in the coming days, and they will need to see this example and way of life from you all. It will no longer be David alone living this way. He has been faithful to his God and the saints all these many years to bring you the message and the example of wilderness living, and to be to you a shining example of faithfulness towards God and obedience to his way. All will now put these teachings into practice. A book of records has now been opened in heaven for the last century. For the last century, Book of Acts Church, as this message has been brought forth to all in UBM. Your free will, offerings, and acts of obedience, as well as any disobediences and the hardening of hearts at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, will now be recorded and witnessed. All who humble themselves to this message from our God and great King will be greatly rewarded in this. Somebody's not needed. Rewarded in this life and in the life to come. But those who allow demons of selfishness, greed, fear, and fear of man to dictate their choices in this matter will lose everything in the times just ahead. God will destroy these idols of money and things and will not allow them to remain, to fulfill the purposes for which they were stored up. But the most tragic consequence of disobedience to this command will be much loss of the eternal rewards that have been prepared for them in heaven. Make for yourselves purses that wax not old to the glory of our God and the corporate benefit of the body of Christ. All will get into the same boat or be left out in the cold of the winter of judgments that are coming upon the economies and the peoples of the world. And then there is Exodus 16, 17 through 21. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And when they measured it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said unto them, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it morning by morning, every man according to his eating. Folks, we're at a time that's an awesome time. We're coming in to this wilderness living head first. Glory to God. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time. Now, because of what was said, I fully expect to lose some people. I pray we don't. I'm praying right now that we don't lose a person, because greed will take you out of the bride. All right, anybody got a question about any portion of this? I'll try to answer if I can. anybody not understand what's going on? Y'all some smart folks. Go ahead, Dilly.
Hey, everybody. God bless you. Michael, I do have a question about the part, if you can expound on. Let me find it here. Where it's underlined there, everyone who has partaken in the blessings that UBM has bestowed upon their lives are commanded to sell. The part that's underlined, all things of value that do not pertain to life and sustenance. That part, can you expound on that, what that means exactly?
Don't sell your loaf of bread or your bed. I'm just saying things that you need to live with day to day. We're talking about excess things like whatever it is. If you've got 401k, if you've got insurance, if you've got this, or if you got that, that you're looking at for some time later in the future to sustain you. That's what God's talking about. And he's also talking about if you got stuff around your house that's not necessary. He said, all things of value that do not pertain to life and sustenance. Sustenance is your day-to-day eating, breathing, living, working, that kind of thing. Your car, you need that. You know, how many cars do you have? You got 4 or 5 cars out there, for goodness sake, you know.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
All right. And it says to sell all things. Don't be sending stuff to us. We don't have a warehouse down here to start a flea market. We just go ahead and sell it yourself. There are people that, yes, Judy.
I guess for myself, I'm thinking of things like, you know, excess things that I would have would be things I really can't sell, but I don't necessarily need, you know, something like, you know, extremely valuable stuff or anything like that. I'm just talking about, you know, I mean, David, God bless him. He's been telling us for years to get light and stuff and not hang on to things. Or how many sweaters do I need? How many, you know, extra shirts do I need? I still have things I'm cleaning out of my closet because I don't go to work anymore. I have one wardrobe now. It's like t-shirts and stuff. So I don't have all that dress clothes stuff. That's really not sellable. I'm just using common sense things, but he says a value that is valuable, right? You can resell it. I just want to kind of make that point clear, I guess, for myself. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Stuff that's worth stuff. Yes, Demita.
So going back to your spouse and my husband, like if he's not in agreement with any of that, what do I do? Right?
Well, if he's not in agreement with it, you have to go, you're under his authority. So you have to do what he says. But the Lord knows your heart, you know. He knows you want to. And that's good. At some point in time, he will. He will.
Amen.
Anybody else? That's what's, you know. Vanita and everybody else, your husband is watching you and your wife is watching you, and how you display your actions when they give you a negative is going to affect them. If you go throw a fit, you know, they're going to say, well, what kind of a Christian is this, you know? But when you just, okay, that's fine, you know, that's fine. You keep on and say, listen, And doing the things that God wants you to do and acting like God wants you to act, they see that and it'll change their life because of it. Because they knew how you were before. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Let's go to war for Theo and Lana. In the name of Jesus right now, we come against this attack on Theo and Lana, the Galchenko. In the name of Jesus, we bind up rebellion. We bind up all kinds of excitement there that shouldn't be. And we cast it out of that family right now in Jesus' name. We cast out anger. We cast out bitterness. We cast out rebellion. And we praise you, Father, for peace in that household right now. We send the angels over there right now to bind them up and calm those boys down in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Oh, giggling spirits. Oh, not those. Oh, my goodness. Giggling spirits sometimes is good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We bind up the giggling spirits if they're out of control in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, as peace is back into that household in Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? Well, it's a giggling thing, you know, Greg. Anybody got any questions? Boy, this, yeah, Geneva.
Well, I actually just want to ask for prayer. Is that okay? You can come back sure. to me if you want to stay on topic.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. So we are traveling back to Kentucky. And it'll be the first time my mom's seeing Micah and Morgan's brothers are seeing Micah. And so, anyways, Morgan's going to drive back. So we have a vehicle to drive back up. So we have a storage unit down there. And we're going to get some of our stuff out of storage. We'll really just get rid of the storage unit and try to figure out what to do with everything. But so with that being said, I just want prayer because Morgan's going to be driving. It's like probably like 13, 14 hours by himself. And then I'm going to be flying with the baby. And it's the first time she's ever been in a plane. And I'm not really too excited about that. So anyways, we all just pray that we have safe travels. But the good thing is on the way back, we get to stop by UBM and see you, Michael, and the UBM family that's down there. So we're really excited about that. Marissa's really excited. Isaac's excited. So really thankful for that. And that's a reason too, why we're, bringing the Jeep to come so that way we can stop by on our way back rather than fly. So if you could just pray for safe travels for Morgan and for me.
Sure, sure. Father, we lift up all of them, Isaac and Geneva and their families, Mariana, Morgan, and all the kids. And we thank you, Father, that your protector angels are with them and they're protecting them all the way there and all the way back. All the way to here and all the way back home. And we praise you, Father, for doing that and that it's going to be a quicker time than they realized. And I praise you for it, Father, for that in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be a time of reflection. And when they get here, it's going to be a joyous time because we'll get to see them. We'll get to hug them. And thank you, Father, for that visit that they're going to have next week in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yes, Judy, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to pray for Michael and I'm sorry, for Micah on this trip, Lord. I just pray blessings and a complete peace and calmness on that plane, that she's going to be enveloped in the presence of the Lord the whole time, that the noise, the air pressure, all the things that could affect other children aren't going to touch her. And I just thank you, Lord, that Geneva's going to be at peace and at rest, and she's going to have not any anxiety or anything about how or how she'll be treated or the baby, because everyone, a lot of times when they see people come on the plane with a baby, they immediately just like, you know, have a, you know, a bad taste in their mouth about it. But we just know that she's just going to be the joy of that plane ride for everybody that's around her, Father. Mm-hmm. And there's not going to be any problems whatsoever. And just keep Geneva in the rest, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and that Morgan's family and everyone's going to be so blessed by seeing them. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going before them in the battle on this, and everything that's on their hearts about this visit, you've already taken care of and answered. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. It's going to be a wonderful trip, Father. Thank you, Lord. got a girl, Anna. We're not involved in all that because we got the Father with us all the way, all the angels with us. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Now, I want to tell you something. I want to say something about what I just read. We're just the messengers. This is not something that we brought up. We have confirmed that these angels are from God many numerous ways. And this is strictly from the Lord. And he's doing it for one reason. It's a test for your obedience, our obedience also. And so that's where we are. Anybody got any questions there? Okay. Well, I guess we'll go
home.
Hey,
my hand's up.
Oh, okay, Vanita, excuse me. I got you. Go.
I was just going to, the email that you read, it was just almost like it was right out of the message that David gave called Should Christians Prep for the 7 Years of Famine? So if anybody's looking for more detail on that, that's the video to go to.
Amen.
It was part three was the one that. Very specific to that.
What was the name of it?
Should Christians Prep for the 7 Years of Famine.
Okay. All right. He's testing our faith, isn't he? That's what he's doing. He's testing your faith. David's been living this way for years, for almost 50 years now. He's given up all for the brethren. And many others have too. So Christians prep for the 7 years of famine. Yeah, one way, your faith. All right. Anybody got something they want to talk about? We were going to talk about something tonight, and I forget what it was. Because, man, I tell you what, we've been going 90 miles an hour around here. For the last few days. Enough. Let me look at my subject matter here.
I have a quick question, Michael, if I can ask.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, we sometimes do, communion on as a group here, but I just didn't know, do you guys do communion on your own on a regular basis or not? I was just curious about that.
When the Lord leads, that's when we do it. It's not a real regular thing that we do, but we do it occasionally, yeah. Matter of fact, we probably do it more here on the fellowship than we do in the locals. But we do it. We do it.
So do people do it individually or is it always within the fellowship?
They can if they want to. Yeah. Some do. Some do, as a matter of fact. But as a body, we haven't done it in a little while. But God commands us to do it. So we'll probably be doing it here for too much. Like if y'all want to do it on here, raise your hand. We'll do it on here. I ain't scared. All right, we can do it here. We'll schedule a time, see if David wants to come in. Do y'all rather have David in here to do it or makes no difference? No, never. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I'm going to tell you something. If you'd rather have David in here, that's fine. All right. Well, let me figure out a good time to do it. And we'll do it as long as the Lord's here. Well, he'll be here. Y'all are here. I'm here. Well, it's the Lord's going to be here. Okay. What else? Yes, Missy.
I have a confession to make. And I've been reading the word women and authority, and I've been being so convicted over like a lot of stuff. And concerning my husband and I guess the one thing that's standing out to me right now that I want to confess is and I know it's, you know, like the enemy coming in and attacking me, that's part of it, and I'm sure it's my flesh too, but I'm not casting it down, and but it's just, you know, criticism, even in the slightest little way, you know, comes out of my mouth, you know, whether it be a little correction or just a little slight little jab, which is a criticism or whatever. And Father, I've repented to you about that. And I just wanted to confess that to everybody. And Father, I just, I'm dead in the sin, alive in the God, and I command my flesh. I take the sword and I put the death of deeds to the body, my mouth, and by your grace, my tongue, my mouth is bridled, and I speak blessings in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for giving me the grace to overcome in this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Missy. Thank you, Father, that she is cleansed, delivered, and set free. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Yay.
All yes, right. You tested?
No, I said, yes, Vanita. She put something in the chat there.
Oh, wow.
Amen.
Amen.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
All right. Anybody got a question or something they want to talk about? Let's talk about wilderness living. It's every bit of us by faith. Let me tell you some of the things that we have seen the angels do that have confirmed that they're from God. And if you know anything about the Word of God, there is a confirmation in 1 John 4. And I'm trying to get there. And here's how you test the spirits. I'm going to start in verse 1, go to 3-6, I believe. Beloved, actually 1-3, but I'm going to go all the way down. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Amen. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Here's the test. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not Jesus is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it comes, and now it is in the world already. Okay, let's just stop right there. That's how you test the spirit. If it won't say that Jesus is not of God or is of God, it's not an angel of God. It's an angel of the devil. These angels have continually spoken of Jesus as the sacrificial lamb, the Son of God, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. Jesus, just Jesus, that. These are, and not only that, they have confirmed by their actions as well. You heard David tell the story of when he asked the angel if they could fix the tractor. Y'all remember that, don't you? The angel told him, said, yeah, we'll fix it. And as he was talking there, the angel was talking, Eve had a vision of two angels down by the tractor in overalls, denim overalls over their robes. God's got a good sense of humor. And then the angel told him, said, you go down there and lay your hands on that and command it to be healed. And it'll be healed if you believe. So David went down there a little bit later, put his hand. This was while I was in Arkansas. I wasn't here. And he put his hands on it, laid his hands on it, commanded that tractor to be healed. And then he had something else to do, he said. And then later on, he went out there, jumped on that tractor. What was wrong with it? It had a gear broken up into four-wheel drive up in the front end of the tractor. And if you know anything about gears and stuff breaking off in a running gear or four-wheel drive, you don't drive it because it can break up more stuff. Because that gear is just running around in there loose, and it can get into something else and tear up something more expensive than what you've already got. So you park it, you leave it there. And he said, we've got a real steep driveway. Some of you know this. It's about a 30-degree incline or decline, whichever way you're going. So he went down the hill with it, tested that thing out. He said it was completely healed. Completely healed. And that's one. We had a call the other day from a lady in the fellowship, said my car broke down in the Walmart parking lot. Can you fix it? We said, yeah, we can fix it. So me and David, as we were going downtown anyway, stopped by there, went over there, laid hands on the car. That's how we fix things. We lay hands, cause it, you know, you don't get your hands greasy that way. Lay hands on that thing, commanded it to be healed in Jesus' name. I knew it was healed. Well, we called her, we told her, said it's fixed. Okay, great, great. Oh, that's cool. Well, she got over there. And she tried the key. Nothing happened. So she throwed her hands up. Well, guess what? Yada, 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 yada. Brandy, didn't she call you?
Yeah, she did call me. Yep.
What happened?
She called me. She said, let me see if I can imitate her. I'm pretty good at it sometimes.
Brandy. David said I could call you, and if you weren't too busy, maybe you could come over and take a look at my car. It's in the Walmart parking lot, and it won't start. And I said, okay, I'll come over. I'll be over, over 45 minutes. You know, had some stuff to do here. And it's just down the road, about 5 minutes or less. And so I went over there, and she got a ride from Leon, and I pulled up, and she gets out of the car, you know, like a grinning, and she goes to get in the car, and has a key in her hand. She goes to open the door up and get in the car, and I said, "Hold on a second, let me try it." So, and I get in there, and I said, "This car's gonna start in Jesus' name," and it just cranked up right up. I mean, this is it cranked right up strong,
This is a, what year is that car? It's a 1994 Toyota Corolla. We bought that car how many years ago at the auction for $384 out the door. Had to put a little money into it for body work, but you know, it's a sub $2,000 car. And, man, that car, that's a good car.
It has been.
It's been a good car.
And, he's had it for years now.
Yeah. 5 years, 6 years. I can't remember. But,
yeah.
I think we took our car in a lot more often than he. I don't think she has had to do them much to hers.
Yeah. No. I had a Corolla with 384,000 miles on it, you know.
Ooh, my.
But she was just, they were jumping for joy. We all were. So, yeah, thank you, Lord.
Amen. That's number two. Then I get a call or I get a text the other day from Chris down in Virginia. He said, man, said, I had a tractor with a hole in the radiator. He said, I just hadn't been able to get to it. He said, after hearing some testimonies, he said, I'll just go down there and pray for that thing. God's going to heal it. And he did. God did. And the tractor's fixed. Praise God for that. That's another one. And there's just time after time after time after time. These angels are telling us the truth. They're coming straight from the Lord. And they have told people wanted to know where they stood. And these angels were telling. Some good, a few not so good. But it's a correction. And when you get a correction, what happened? You work on it. You overcome. You get rid of that stuff. And you're right back where you started at or ended up at. You're right back on the road again. It's no big deal to God. It's not a big deal with him. Yeah, Amber.
I was just going to testify to some of the things that I received on Friday. I've been here a while and I've got lots of deliverance, you know. But you're probably all familiar with the kind of deliverance where you're coming against the enemy and you're casting them down. You're saying, no, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that, you know, and crying and whatever. And then, you know, maybe you get deliverance, you know, just a lot of effort, it seemed like. But on Friday, you know, we went expecting and just really excited. And praising the Lord as much as we could. And when I was in the meeting, I did feel the presence of the Lord. I feel him that way often. So I wasn't like, oh, that was a great, you know, I felt that. And I did feel a few spirits leave, just, you know, just kind of like, I was the guy like, you know, and some, and maybe the other two, I'm not sure. Maybe I just burped or something and, you know, they were minor ones or whatever. But I the first thing was just kind of a sense of, I had a freedom that I couldn't explain. I couldn't tell you what left. I couldn't tell you. It's just somehow or another, I could worship more. I wasn't concerned. I was just a freedom had happened. And then in the following days, I just realized this one, on Monday, I realized that I had a different attitude towards food. And, you know, as women, we have, you know, either you eat too much or you eat too little, or you're worried or you're this or you're that, and you have some attitude. And I realized that my attitude had changed towards food. And I didn't have that, like,
adversarial.
I don't even know. It's like always aware of what the tasty things are and always aware of, you know, I don't know. It's just food. Cause I had asked a long time, you know, just Lord, give me a right attitude with food. And I guess that's the only way I can describe it. It felt normal instead of the things I've struggled with all my life. And I didn't have to do anything for it. I didn't have to beg or plead. It was just there. It's something I prayed about a while back, and he gave that to me. And I was also delivered of, I was just talking to the Lord very briefly about something that I felt kind of sad, just a little sad about. And the Lord was like, well, why are you sad? And it was a feeling of always being not special. I don't know if any of you felt that way. Like, I didn't really feel very good at anything. Like, well, some people are good at math, or somebody's a good runner, or, you know, that person's a good singer. I used to have ADHD, so I have a lot of skills, a lot of jobs, and I never felt very good at any of them. So I just felt like, oh, and so there's this voice that was like that you're, you know. And so after the meeting, it was like, oh, he's wonderful. And that spirit was like, oh, did you ever really think that you could amount to anything? And, you know, you're just, you know, blah, blah, blah. You're, you know, of course you're never, you know, you're stupid to even think that, you know, you could do, you know, receive anything wonderful from the Lord, you know? And I was like, oh, you know, to like two belly, like deep sobs, like not just cry. It was just like a, you know, deep pain from my childhood, but only two, because normally I have dealt with depression. It was, you know, more effort, but this was just two deep ones. And then all of a sudden I was crying, like, and all of a sudden I was like, whoop. And it's like, you know, I felt like, again, like kind of a choking and a throwing up. And then all of a sudden I was like, huh. The crying stopped. The pain was gone. All that pain that I kept with me all my life was gone. I didn't feel not special anymore. I didn't feel like, oh, I'm super special or I'm not special. I just felt normal. I just felt peaceful. And I didn't have to beg and plead. It just happened. You know, it was just, oh man, it's just like, it's like something, I felt empty inside, like something big had been removed from me, like this, but empty in a good way, you know, but empty, like, I guess this heaviness that had been inside me all my life, making me feel, you know, I was always going from job to job looking, well, maybe this is what I'll be special at. Maybe this will be special. Maybe I'll try to sell this and I'll be a success. Maybe I'll get on the internet and I'll be success that way. You know, something, you know, always looking. And so, man, that's just been such a relief. And the other thing was, I've been going through it. And the longer I've been here, it seems the more my suffering continued. It just seemed to get worse and worse. And I was giving people some testimonies. But so I think it was Monday night. And I was really excited to have a good time. I had trouble sleeping. Again, ADHD, I'm delivered from it, but it was a busy mind. I was thinking and, you know, just being attacked in a way that I haven't been. And I was giving testimonies in my head, you know, and in the testimonies though, I was saying like, well, the reason for my success is all the suffering, man. I suffered so much, but I really learned a lot. And it's, you know, it strengthened me, you know. And then I'd go, shut up, you know, quit saying that, you know. And then, then it'd talk, you know, some other ugly thing would come in. And the next thing you know, I'd be thinking again, yes. And it was all about suffering, all the suffering I've been in. But, you know, but the Lord had given me a word. I'm kind of getting this mixed up. Oh, earlier, the Lord, the night before, he said, wake up and go talk to the angel of your chastening. And so I did. So I'm sorry. So stop a minute, back up a day. And so I get up and I'm like, okay, I don't see angels. This is new. But I pray about it and I see like I feel like a kind of a youthful, you know, being, and he's kind of smiling. I'm like, why are you so chipper? Cause you know, you'd think an angel of your chastening would be kind of solemn. And, he said, because you're this, what was it? Like your sorrow is coming to your chastening, the day of your suffering is coming to an end. And, later in the next day, I stayed up like an hour and a half to see if I could get more out of him, or if I could see him, and nothing really happened. I didn't get any more from that, but I wanted to be obedient. And then later in the day, though, I did try to ask my angel, you know, which my daughter sees angels, so I knew he was there. But he said the reason why I wasn't able to see more of them is I wasn't ready. And he gave me a song. The Lord talks to me in song. And the verse was, fall into my arms and let me wash you clean. And so I was thinking about that. I'm sorry, Michael, am I going on too long?
No, go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. And so I was thinking, well, how do you fall into somebody's arms, Father? How do I do that to you? How do I fall into your arms? He was like, well, how do you get a hug from your mother? And I'm like, well, I just go like that. And then she hugs me back. And he says, well, that's what you need to do. So that was Monday. And so Monday, when we were in praise and worship, I really focused on loving the Lord when I was singing. I was trying to really love him. So that night, so now we're back to where I started from. That night, I was being tormented, and, you know, all the testimonies I was giving myself, you know. And all of a sudden, I said, wait a minute, I need to get up and sing songs of love to the Lord. So I did. I went to my daughter. She's gone. I went to her bedroom and really tried to sing songs of love. And then all of a sudden, I was like, the Lord just showed me. He's like, I said, oh, my gosh, I was giving glory to suffering. In all those testimonies in my life, I said, I've got an idol of suffering. You know, I was giving in my mind all the things that I suffered, you know, like the things that I've learned. I was like, well, that's because I suffered so much. And I realized I had been giving God that, you know, I'd been taking that away from God and his mercifulness, his gracefulness, and giving it to this idol. And then I asked the Lord to take it from me, and he did. And again, it was like this, in a little bit different place, I felt an emptiness, the suffering that I, man. And so some things I've been experiencing physically very quickly began to manifest the healing, because the idea of having to suffer to get a healing has really impeded. I've gotten healings. I've gotten many, many deliverances, but this idol of suffering has kept me really from having a quick healing, you know, or quick. It's just really slowed things down, because, you know, I thought, well, I was even afraid that he was going to take that gift. So I have a new dealing with food. I was afraid that God was going to take that away from me because of the suffering. You know, I thought, oh, you know, why would he take that from me? That's a gift, you know, but that suffering, that idol, you know, said that, that's how you get things. That's what impresses God, or that's what he likes. And so, man, I talked to my daughter this morning. I was just talking a mile a minute, telling her everything, you know. I just feel so blessed. And so I think that's just a real testimony that the Lord is working really mightily here. And things are happening. And, you know, those of you who've done the praise, you know, I found so much power in thanking him and rejoicing, especially when you don't feel like it. Even if you have an idol of suffering, praise and thanking him opens the heavens to receive something from the Lord. I don't know what it is or why that works, but it does. I think it maybe is acknowledging that he's good and that he has a purpose behind it. You know, if for nothing else, all the suffering I went through showed me I had an idol of suffering, and, you know, that I didn't need to have that, you know, that's, you know, I guess that's it.
Amen. Thank you, Amber. That was awesome. I'll tell you something that I have learned during this time Friday night was this, and I have practiced it every day since then. And that's this. She hit the nail right on the head. When you praise God after you command the angels to go, that's what gives the angels the wherewithal to go and do whatever it is you've been praying for. I've noticed that in my prayer life also. After you pray, praise God, or before you pray, either way, or both. praise God continually and thank God for doing what you prayed for. And you'll see it come to pass every time. And have no doubt in your mind. That praise and worship feeds faith to you too. Because you're thanking God, the God Almighty. Listen, the angels from the Lord himself are telling us these things. And if they are telling us these things, if you go out there and pray and believe what you got, you're going to have it. That's what they're telling us. This is coming from the throne of God. It's not like me telling you that or anyone else telling you that. These are angels of God. And you trust that God's going to follow through with his promises to you with your prayers. And it's going to happen, Lord God. I'm telling you, I'm seeing it happening right now, manifesting in this grandson of mine that I've been struggling with for 30 years almost. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, dude.
Amber, sister, thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much. I don't know that I have what you call the Lord was revealing to me, an idol of suffering. But I know I've suffered a lot, and I certainly don't want to glory in that. I know there's suffering for righteousness' sake, and that's what we've been called to do, you know, our flesh dying and stuff, but like physical stuff, emotional stuff, things that I know I've been going through for a long time. And I would always battle against, you know, the enemy always accusing me that I'm in sin somewhere. And I know my heart's not condemning me. And I've gone to war against doubt and double-mindedness, unbelief, uncertainty, or even that God loves me and he wants to heal me. But I don't know if it's an idol. Lord has not shown me that when you talk about that, but I don't want to have one. And I just am asking you all to agree with me to get free from an idol of suffering, if that's what is there.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. I'm just going to add, if anyone sees anything, you know, I know the Holy Spirit's here and the gifts in operation. If anyone sees anything or perceiving anything from him, please let me know.
I was going to say, I've been delivered from other kind of suffering. You know, did she get knocked off?
I'm right here.
You just got
I just moved. Oh, somebody else waved their hand and I moved across the page somewhere.
That's how it happened. I'm not used to such a big crowd. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be an idol. It can be demons. It can be, I also had a, what is that? Not Gnostics. What is
Stoic?
I had a Stoic spirit, and, Marcus, I used to be in a new age stuff, and it's their beliefs was like, that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. You know, so I had to be delivered from that. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy spirits we pick up from our past, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, it might not be an idol. It might could be a spirit. This, you know, okay. You just have to, you know, seek the Lord for what it might be, you know.
But. Well, I'm getting a lot of just what I'm hearing from the Lord sometimes is just be patient and endure. Be patient and endure. But it's like, God, you bore this curse for me. You bore these curses for me. And I want to endure to the end. He should, you know, so I don't know if it's a religious spirit. I mean, I don't know what it is. I just give it up right now to Lord God. You know exactly what it is, what I'm dealing with. And I trust you. I believe you. I know by the grace of God, mm-hmm. I'm saved. It's not by my works. It's not by being good enough. It's not by getting everything right. It's not by understanding everything perfectly. God, it's just, I believe Jesus, you did this for me and you paid for it with your life. And I receive my deliverance and healing from everything that's been
Amen.
Causing me to suffer.
Amen. Thank Praise you, Lord. God.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we just lift up Julie to you, and we thank you, Father, for her desire to be right with you. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that's filling her right now, purifying her blood, healing her body. And we praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for doing that for Julie. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Everybody say amen. It's done. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Yeah, Greg.
I just wanted to, one, thank Julie for letting give me the chance to pick on a false, because I have a gift for that. Sorry, Julie. No, I'm jesting. But the other thing that this is just something that I've experienced when, because the enemy does accuse us, and apparently sometimes he's not always completely honest either. And I learned sometimes in prayer with the Lord, you know, when he was there, because I was accused, is that, you know, he can accuse me of starting the Second World War if he wants. And I just go around and say, well, and this is a gift we have, by the way. I repent. What are you going to do now? And he's stymied. Out.
That's a great line there. Amen. I repent. Now what? All right, Unrutter. All right, and I always call you the wrong name. Let me see. And Redder, no, that's all right. I see you.
Okay, thanks. Hi, everyone. Thanks for all the sharing. I have a testimony as well. On Friday when you had the church going, we had my little one's birthday at the same time. I hadn't known, you know, we'd missed out on the email, but we had it playing on the background, and it was the most beautiful party we've ever had. It was peaceful. None of the kids got hurt. Okay, one of the kids kind of slammed a gun on his head, but yeah, he was really high on the sugar. But it was still really, it was amazing. And the parents, everything was pretty much perfect. That has never happened. Even I know it seems petty, but like the food was just the right temperature. It got ready just at the right time. When I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be late. It was like everyone was just, it was such a lovely atmosphere. And people just seemed vulnerable. Even my in-laws seemed vulnerable, you know. And yeah, it was just really beautiful. So praise God. And we weren't even actively participating. You know, it was just playing in the background. So praise God. Thank God for being part of that. Amen. I was thanking everyone who's brought up the suffering, because I have sort of wondered, and recently the last couple of days, what the Bible verse that keeps coming up was when Jesus was asking, was saying, you know, about, I don't have my Bible here, about, you know, you fed me. I hope I'm not paraphrasing it wrong. And he said, with the righteous, you know, he'll call them up and he'll say, because you visited me in jail, because you fed me when I was hungry, because, you know, you dressed me when I was naked. And I was pretty much really moved by that and started to look around at the places, you know, we could give and stuff, but that didn't work out very well. And then yesterday I listened to a Derek Prince video, and the same thing came up again. You know, Lord, when did we not feed you? When did we not visit you? When did we not care for you? You know, when you were sick and that. So when I got the email from UBM, I just thought, wow, this is confirmation. It's bingo, you know. And we had actually spoken with the kids and 2 days ago and said, I want everyone to give up some things. We're going to sell them and we're going to find some children or, you know, someone in need, because we need to share that. And they were on. But with the suffering, which is the thing that's brought up, I have been, I guess, allowing myself to feel a bit condemned, because I'm beginning to feel like I'm resisting suffering. Like it's getting to the point where I'm going, Lord, I don't understand what it's for and how it's bringing you glory, you know. And and just, yeah, wondering if I am in God's will, because at some point I noticed submission became an idol. So it wasn't about coming under authority or being under God's order. It became about being submissive, and that became an idol. And so I praise God, I've been delivered of that now. But I do want to be under God's order, And sometimes I do wonder, am I leaning on my own strength? Is that why it's almost becoming unbearable? And just wondering what it is about dying. Where am I not dying? And I also wanted to ask for prayer for doors to open so I can bring my mother. And that's one of my, I think, major causes of suffering is wanting my mom just desperately. Yeah. So Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the doors that you're opening. I give you praise and glory, Lord, because you are my dad and you are her dad and you're my husband's dad. And it is you who provides, Father. And I thank you, Lord, and I give you praise and glory that there's nothing I will ever go through that you did not go through already. And so, Lord, I ask for your peace. I ask for your love. And I ask for your providence because, Father, what seems impossible for me is easy for you. And so, Lord, let me look at your strength. Let me look at your power. Let me look at your throne, Father, in heaven. And let that be significant to everything that I'm looking to, Lord, that you are God and you're a mighty, mighty God. And that, Father, you're going to open up those doors, that mom is going to come here, is going to be with me and her grandchildren, and that, Father, she will be healed. And that, Lord God, my marriage will be healed. And that, Father, your strength will be my joy all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Ann Rutter. Father, we thank you that every prayer she prayed is going to come to pass. We send out the angels right now to start bringing it to pass. And we praise you, Father. We glorify you, Father. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this family's life, bringing her husband back, bringing her mama home, all of those things she's asked for. And we thank you for it, Father. You're an awesome and mighty and a loving God. And we praise you, Father, for doing this for Ann Renner. She's got a heart for you, Father. And I know your heart is with hers. And I thank you, Father, for doing this for her in a mighty, glorified way that she'll know it's you. We thank you, Lord, for doing that for Ann Renner. Amen. Y'all Amen. Believe that? Y'all believe that? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. It's happening, girl. Look for it. Because God's on the way. He's doing it. Praise God. Whoo, my. Man, there is such a presence. Go ahead, Missy.
And Retta, speaking of the suffering, I'd like to share Hebrews 2:10. And there's another verse about the Lord's suffering. For it became him for whom are all things and through whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That's what the suffering's for. And here's another verse. I think they both complement each other. They hope you understand more. And Hebrews 5:8. Though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered and have been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of salvation, named of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So it's by the things that we suffer that we're the Lord perfects us. It's our flesh that suffers. This is the biggest flesh killer of me is keeping my mouth shut. And
Amen.
Anyway, it's when, it's like when somebody says something to you and you know you can't say something back, and inside you're just, you just feel this burning inside That's suffering. It's your flesh suffering, not your physical flesh. It's your fleshly carnal man suffering, you know, because you can't say anything. And you're taking your sword and saying, do not return reviling for reviling and turn the other cheek. You know, you hear all this going in your head and you obey that your spirit man and not your flesh man. You just take God's word and you put to death the deeds of the body, you know, and you, nope. And putting to death, the deeds of your body, your flesh, your old man, is that suffering. That's the suffering. And it's like, praise you, Lord. So, you know, sometimes we need to make mistakes and, you know, have failings. And that's our best teacher sometimes. Most of the time, I can say that from my personal experience. You don't know what's there. You don't know what needs to die. You don't know what needs to burn up, what you need to put to death. Deny yourself, take up your cross until you have those failures lots of times. It doesn't, and you're like, oh, I hate that. You know, you don't get delivered from the old man or spirits or the flesh until you hate it and you don't want to do it no more. And so that's just what my personal experience and explanation of what that is. So I hope that helped. We thank you, Lord, and Retta is going to take up her sword and kill that old man and those enemies. And so, and just let that flesh burn up. It's a continual sacrifice, you know, denying yourself, you know, and that continual burnt offering that it talks about. And that's our old man, our flesh, you know, that we need to continually let be being burnt up and not let him talk or let him do what he wants. And gosh, when I'm blessed when I think about, you know, that Jesus was made perfect through sufferings and he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. He showed us how to do it. he went through the same thing we did before he actually went to his physical death. You know, he's not a high priest who not can be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. You know, he went through the same thing. So praise you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen.
For showing us, Lord.
I said amen. Thank you, Missy. That was good. That was good. All right. Go ahead, Andrew or Benjamin.
Well, I really don't know what we're talking about here because I never got the email. But I think you're talking about overcoming sufferings and going through sufferings. A big suffering for me was when David Eales used to say about people who had mental assent. And I thank Missy for what she just finished saying, because this there's a demon called mental assent, okay? And he makes you try to think that, oh, you got all the word from mental assent now. And I'm going, oh, no, you know, like, and you know, I just read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I found Mr. Mental Assent in verse 2, and it's I'll have to read 1 and 2. Concerning the things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but love buildeth up. Now here, verse 2 is the mental assent guy. And verse 3 is the right guy because he's got the fruit of the spirit of love there. If any thinketh, he knoweth aught, and knoweth not yet as he ought to know. But if any love God, the same is known by him. So I guess the puffed up guy, he's got a bunch of leaven in him, and pride and ego, really doesn't get the verses from the Holy Spirit. He gets it from his own memory or something. This was always something that really bothered me a lot. And there is that suggested temptation that says, you don't really got it. You know, and that could do a major ruin in everything. But you do have it because the first fruit of the spirit is love, and we obey. He's trying to use a roundabout way to say, I'm not obeying anymore. And it was really tough. That's part of the old man for me. And he was exciting the old man using the word of God. And that was pretty sad to go through something like that. But I'm thanking the Lord that he revealed that to me. And that was just within the days of the fast that he revealed that to me. Build some other things to me too. And praise God. There is a wonderful verse that Zechariah, you know, he was all alone. And I'm sure we all felt that way sometimes. It's in chapter 10 where it says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger. Let's not bring me to that. Now, that doesn't describe the self-life in a nutshell. I don't know what can, you know, to even ask the Lord for his bank, to ask the Lord to cleanse you, to ask the Lord to have you overthrow this, you know. That conniving schemer still works on me with this sometimes. And it's a toughie. It was a tough one. It was a real tough one. And praise God. Praise God. It's like I've had some clarity, but I need more. Okay. And praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Read the chat there, Andrew. I need yours and Ben's email. You're right. I don't have you in there. I had a corruption in my address book a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just now getting everybody in there. That's why I asked earlier if everybody got that email. So just send it to me in the chat and it'll be fine. All right. Thank you, Andrew. That's good. We were talking about the email that I sent out earlier, and you can check it out. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I didn't receive it either.
Okay, check with your mama. She got it. Same one.
Okay.
All right, I'll put you in there, though. Okay, I'll add you to it.
Yep.
Amen. All right. Who's next? Amen. Yeah, I don't know what's going on in the realm of these computers, but these people are getting to where when they send you an update, that's what happened. I downloaded an update on this thing a few weeks ago. And it just took everything. It took my whole address book out. And I've been all this long to get it back in order. It takes a while, you know. Even a smart guy like me, it takes a while. All right. Go ahead, David. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, Michael, I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams.
Amen.
I mean, ever since the fast ended Sunday night, me and my wife both felt the anointing come over us. And I mean, I saw a vision of the anointing pouring out. My wife felt it at the same time, and I felt it, and it was great. Well, what I wanted to say is, can we pray for every child in the whole UBM? It seems like all the children got under an attack, because we're over at Fio and Lana's, and we saw how they got attacked, and then we just got home with our kids, and instantly Adelina got attacked and hit her head really hard. And I mean, there's just been a strong attack ever since this fast and the anointing, and we know the enemy's mad, and it's his last move that he gets, because he knows it's his time's coming short. And I feel that I'll just start the prayer, and if anyone wants to add on. Lord Heavenly Father, Lord, I lift up every child in the UBM ministry. Lord, we notice that attacks are coming, and they're coming strong, because we know the enemy knows his time's short, and he's going to try to make as much damage as he can before it's over. But Lord, I ask, Father, put your hedge of protection over every child. Lord, they're souls. They're your children. They're souls, living souls for you, Lord. And Lord, the enemy cannot have him, because we know who we serve. We know who those children belong to. And the enemy knows that too, Lord. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke any spirits trying to come against the children, any demons trying to go out and destroy these children. You cannot have him now. And you never can have him, because they are the children of God. And I lift up every child right now, and I lay him down at the throne of grace. And Lord, protect him, Father. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for your victory tonight. And from this day on, the kids will be acting as if their kids are God, joyful and happy, and they'll be obedient. And Lord, we thank you for the victory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. And I want to pray too, because we're noticing that locally also. Lord, we hook our faith up with David. We thank you, Lord, for your angels that are out there right now getting rid of these demonic entities that are agitating, irritating these babies. In the name of Jesus, you don't have a right to be here. We take authority over you, bind you up, cast you out of this fellowship. In the name of Jesus, you go from here and from these little children. In the name of Jesus, we will not put up with it anymore. You're a defeated foe. You have been defeated. You're gone from this fellowship in the name of Jesus. And I ain't talking about just this one here. I'm talking about all over. In the name of Jesus, you go. And I thank you, Father, for those angels being sent out right now, taking care of business, cleaning up the babies that have been attacked by these demonic entities. We come against any kind of witchcraft curses that are spoken against them and cast them down as null and void. In Jesus' name, we bind up the people that's doing it in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for a complete restoration of a peaceful home in God's family. In Jesus' mighty name. Y'all believe that? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We praise you, Father, for the victory. Thank you, Jesus. You're an awesome and loving God. And we praise you for it. My. The power of God right now is flowing through this fellowship in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa, glory to God. Y'all reach and grab it because it's out there. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about who is out there, the Holy Spirit. Is out there running through your families right now, calming them babies down. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, my. Okay. Whew, thank you, Jesus. All right, David, go ahead.
I actually did want to share a praise report. So for almost a year now, we had been struggling with Addie at night. Like, she would always wake up screaming, crying, and we had her sleeping in our room in her own bed, and then eventually it went to her sleeping in our bed. And then it was like she had to lay on my arm to fall asleep. Like, she wouldn't fall asleep unless she was on my arm. Like, she had to cuddle me. And it just, like, and she has been sleeping in our bed for a really long time. I mean, really long time. And I just didn't know how to get her back into her own room. And when we first moved into this duplex, we tried to have her in her crib right next to our bed, and that didn't work either. Like, she was screaming for like an hour. And we finally just gave in and put her back in our bed. And, you know, and this was just, it was a hard thing on me, because I was like, do I just put her in a room and just shut the door and shut my ears to her screaming, you know? But then, like, anyways, it was so hard on me. Like, there was so much confusion about it, what I need to do, how I need to address this. And then, you know, I just kind of, just gave it to the Lord. And I'm like, you know, it's just, however, like, somehow she's someday going to just want to sleep in her own room. And Friday, when we were all together praising and worshiping the Lord, Adelina was really tired, and she kept crying, and it was kind of, it wasn't allowing me to, you know, really be with everyone and just give everything to the Lord like I wanted to, because, you know, she keeps crying and I have to, you know, and I knew she was really tired, and I was like, I can't put her to bed because we're in our room, we're on the call, and I'm like, I just didn't know what to do. And then I just this, like, I don't even know. It was just this firm decision in me just came. And I'm like, I am putting her in the crib in the other room, and she's going to sleep there tonight. And I did. I you know, got her ready for bed. And I was like, Addie, you're sleeping here. And she did start screaming, crying. And the enemy tried putting condemnation on me at first, like, you're going to traumatize your child, you know, stuff like that. And I just kept casting it down, and I prayed over her, cast it out, whatever screaming demon that was in her, I casted that out of her and just prayed. And I just started thanking the Lord that she is peaceful. There's an angel there with her that's comforting her. She's not alone. She's okay. And I just believed it. And I was just thanking the Lord for it. And when I came back later, I heard how one of the angels said that the enemy was under our feet. And I was like, yes, like, he's defeated, you know, he's no longer going to be bothering Addie the way he has been. And praise the Lord, she slept that night. She went to sleep. She did cry it out, but she fell asleep. She slept that whole night. The next night, again, we put her down. She cried a little before, but then she went down. And tonight, you guys, she asked me to sleep in her own bed. She said, Mom, I want to go to sleep in my bed, in her own room. She said her prayer with me just now, and we put her to sleep in her own room. She's been sleeping there every single night since Friday. Praise the Lord. I am just so thankful for this victory.
Amen. It's hallelujah shouting time, ain't it?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God. That's an awesome testimony. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I remember my first child, my wife and I, man, it was terrible. She'd wake up, Michelle would wake up and just scream and holler. We'd go there and put her in the bed, and that wouldn't work. And then I said, well, I'll just put her in the car and take her riding until she falls asleep, because, you know, all babies do that. And, I did that for a long time, and I finally got tired of doing that. And I told her one night I was tired. I'm dead tired. I was farming then, and I've been out in the rice fields all day. And I said, put her in the bed and leave her in there. And I said, I'm tired. I'm not going to take a ride in the night. That ain't going to happen. She's just going to have to go to sleep where she is. And so she cried for about 45 minutes or so. And Jeanette was saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I said, I'm going to sleep. I'm tired. She could sit up there and be awake all night long, but I ain't going back in there. I can't do it. That baby went to sleep, and I never had that problem again. Never had it again. But praise God, we learned. Thank you, Jesus. That's an awesome testimony, Alina. That's God there. That is God. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
I just I'd like to share a testimony. If you remember, a few weeks back, maybe I was talking about how the Lord was showing me about spirit of anxiety that comes on me, and I don't have to be anxious, but it's that spirit there that just pesters me and gets me knotted up, or you know, gives me a headache. You know, I could do something, you know, like the previous day, you know, that's out of the normal, and you know, try and make me believe, well, that's why you have these knots and you get this headache. And I learned not to do, to cast that down, and you know, even do offensive, you know, a warfare against it and everything. But you know, what the Lord showed me was to start praying, not praying, but commanding that spirit of anxiety. I told you all this before, you know, to go, and I stopped, you know, like commanding pain to go and commanding healing. I just started dealing strictly with that spirit. And and when I was down there on Pot Blessing Day, I woke up the morning of that, and I was feeling it, and I had this horrible headache, and I kept saying, no, it's not because of what I did the previous day. I don't receive that. I'm not going to receive any excuse. This is just an attack. And here it was attack on, there were, I think it was three other people that within a 24-hour period were attacked with headaches and all. So I knew it was witchcraft and everything. But other than that, like since I've been back, and it's been like 2.5 weeks since I've been back, I have not had one of them headaches. And, you know, sometimes I feel slight tension or whatever, you know, or in my back or whatever, and I just rebuke that spirit, you know, but I haven't had one headache, and I praise the Lord. I believe I'm delivered, and you know, and eat like during the fast and everything too, like one thing that I went through was my, even though I was like weak and tired from not eating and drinking as much as I was used to and all, I didn't have like the aches in my body. Like, especially when I get up in the morning, I wouldn't be as like tired or kind of achy. You know how like sometimes you can get up in the morning and you're just moving slow and it's like, I wasn't like that hardly at all. And it was pretty awesome, and I've felt pretty good since the fast and everything, you know, just like I don't know, you know, it's like, because something, you know, like it's tired spirit, even during the fast, you know, there were nights that I couldn't sleep, but then I get up the next day and even when I would get up, you know, I didn't have a hard time getting and going. And I didn't like take like a mid-afternoon nap lots of times or whatever, like I would. And so there was, I don't know what it was, you know, just this spirit of tiredness or something on me or something. I don't know what it was exactly, but I feel like that's lifted off me because I haven't had, you know, that whole tired thing going on like I used to. So thank you, Lord, for delivering me from that and from just feeling achy in my body and just thank you, Lord, for all that you've delivered us all from and healed us all from and the gifts that you've given us all, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry I had a phone call. All right. Go ahead, Andrew.
I just wanted to make sure that you got both emails, Michael.
Yeah. Did you?
Well, I sent them in the.
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did. That's what I was doing. I was adding them in. You're talking about the email address. Yes.
Yeah. One for me, one for Ben.
Okay. I'll take it big is Ben and Andrew is Andrew.
Yeah. Okay.
I got you. All right, I'll send that out to you, that email out to y'all here in a little bit. Okay. We need to pray for the missionaries over in Africa and the Middle East. The Lord has He's got them in his hand, but let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your angels, the angel Michael and his group of angels with him are out there protecting them in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in them. We thank you, Father, that they're going to go out, do this warfare without any problems for the enemy. We thank you, Lord, that they're going to be able to eradicate the enemy in this great happening, biblical happening that's happening over there now. And Father, I thank you for your protection upon the ones that are going to the place that the angels have told them to go. And I praise you, Father, that there's going to be great success with these missionaries and all that's going on over there in Jesus' mighty name. I can't say too much, but Lord, we just thank you for your angels going out there right now, protecting every one of them and their families in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We send all the angels that are needed out there right now. I know one angel can take care of all of them. And Lord, I know that Michael's going away if he hadn't already there. And we praise you, Father, for the great victory that's in the making right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory, hallelujah. You're an awesome God. You're a loving God. And you are a warring God against God's enemies. And we praise you, Father, right now that you're doing a mighty work in this bunch in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Praise God. It's done. Y'all believe that? That them enemies is scattered out like snacker ribs were, too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? All right. One day. There's going to be a book and it's going to have all of these combats in it, all of these trials that we've been through in it. It's going to be an amazing story. Y'all are going to be in it. It's going to be an amazing story. Listen, there are people that have died and gone on to heaven, wish they were alive right now to see what you're going to witness here in a little bit. Praise God forevermore. And how many of you want to be a part of it? I'm telling you, I do too. Me too, man, with both hands. Amen, brother. I want to be a part of it. Just obey the word. That's what you do. You obey the word. Glory to God. And when you obey the word, you'll never fail. You'll never fail. Seek God with all your heart. Forget about yourself. Yourself don't mean nothing. You being somebody will take you to hell. He wants people that are humble and walking like Jesus. That's the way Jesus walked. He walked just like Jesus. Just like the God the Father wanted him to walk. And when you walk like Jesus, you got a humble heart, but you got a loving heart. Even for your enemies, you have a loving heart. Something else, the power of God right now, he told us the enemy has been defeated. He's already been defeated. All we have to do is just have the faith to believe it and declare it in your life. When you do that, you're going to have testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony of God's goodness and grace for you. I can tell you something. God can change the weather for you. God can change. He can fix your car. Don't put him in a box. Of course, you've heard me say, well, I've seen God since I came to Tennessee. I thought God was only in the healing and the deliverance and that kind of business. God's in the business of doing whatever it takes to get you in the faith. If you believe that your baby is crying, he don't need to be crying, and you say, all right, I command this spirit off of him, whatever it is, it's irritating him. Bless God, you got to go. Put your foot down. Don't let that devil talk you into giving up. That demon's gone. That baby's going to quieten down. But whatever it is, it makes no difference. If you need provisions, that's what this thing is about. If you need provisions, ooh, my goodness, I can't tell you how many times God has multiplied money in either my pocket or my billfold. David will tell you, you've heard the story about David. He said, Lord, I need some money. I got to have some money for these people. I ain't got no money. And the Lord told him, look under your bed, between your mattresses. He said, I ain't nothing done with that, Lord. He said, I said, put your hand under that mattress. And he stuck his hand under there, brought out $8,500. He said, where in the world? Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, and he said it wasn't just a few days later. The Lord told him, he said, check your bottom drawer down there. Another $8,500. That's $17,000 just in a few days that the Lord multiplied for. Put it there. Put it. He can make money if you need it. Tell you something else. He's going to get these books out. He said he's going to distribute these books supernaturally. All over the world, wherever they're needed. He said his angels are going to be giving them out. It ain't nothing that we can do. It's going to be the angels and God's angels doing it. Oh my, if you could just, yes, that's right, Jimmy. No postage, no nothing. Translation for his saints that need to be elsewhere in a moment's time. It's going to be common. How many of you'd like to do that? Man, I would. I want to be translated. Dirk, I'm coming out there. I know that. I'm coming out there to see y'all at some point in time. Glory to God. And Joe too. Praise God. It's going to be wherever God needs his people, that's where they're going. And you don't have to get on a plane to go there either. You get on God's chariot. I guess is what you call it. I don't know. I just One moment you're here, and the next minute you're over there. That's like that preacher over in Russia that went 1,000 miles between his churches, 3 churches, every Sunday, and went home before midnight, you know. That's the way it's going to be, folks. It's going to be a supernatural time. The things that you've seen me do, you're going to do, Jesus said. Greater things you're going to do. My gracious. Greater? That's why he wants us to get him out of the box. Let the Lord, if you've got a need, don't worry about it. Don't go to the flesh to fix it. Ask God. He's doing it now, folks. I'm telling you, it don't make any difference what it is. He'll get it for you. Great times were his. And I'll tell you something else. NDA. No, wait a minute. DNA recovery is coming very soon. DNA recovery. Everyone who has a problem that's in the bride, everyone that's in the, or whatever, that believes is going to get a brand new body. DNA recovery. He said he's going to fix everything that's wrong with you, no matter how old you are. Y'all looking at a 30-year-old man right here. I'm telling you the truth. That's it. Glory to God. I'm telling you, you're looking at a 30-year-old man. Y'all better look out. I'm going to be so full of energy. Glory to God. Y'all are too. Those who believe. It's going to happen. Oh, yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, I wanted to get too late here. I wanted to thank everyone for your prayers before I left to go to Florida, where my son was in the hospital at in Pensacola. You all prayed and agreed with me, and we believed for miracles. And I just thank you all. And I was believing to the end and telling my kids that were there with me, you know, don't look at this, don't look at this. You know, we're going to look at only what God can do and what he says he'll do, and that he'll answer our prayers. And just kept believing, and especially me and my daughter, Hadassah. She believed with me. We prayed over Albert, just commanded that healing to come. But it did. It came. He's healed. So, you know,
Amen.
God knew his best. He's sovereign. And my one daughter just said, I said something about, well, God was ready for him. And she said, well, I wasn't ready to lose him. And, you know, I said, well, I wasn't either, but we still have to believe that God is God and he's in control. And so, but, the amazing testimony of this all is that he's with the Lord. And we know that we've heard so many little testimonies of how he's talked to different people about his relationship with the Lord. And we didn't even know. We didn't even know. Yeah, his best friend that he talked to every day told Kimberly, I talked to him every day for the last couple months. Now and then he talked to me about his relationship with the Lord. And another woman from our fellowship from years ago, now and then they get in touch. And she said that she told me the same thing in a chat today, or email today. She told me the same thing. Last time we talked, he told me about his relationship with the Lord. I thought, whoa. So, anyway, it was just really amazing that I know that we just know that well, you know what it is? It's God's faithfulness to our prayers and belief for household salvation, that those Amen. Who love God and honor him. And that's what it is. He's faithful. And, I just wanted to say that, oh gosh, I get nervous when I talk and I think what I want to say, but, what was it? Well, he was just so faithful. We were all kind of knowing that and believing that while he was in this deep coma, that God was taking him places and talking to him and showing him things. And we were just kind of saying, I wonder maybe if God is showing him hell and, you know, things like that. Cause, you know, we were believing he was going to be saved. He was going to be brought in, you know, he already was. But then, we had a, did really have a real sense of peace towards the end, that just knew it, that he was with the Lord, and just had a real peace, supernatural peace. And then later that night, which he was gone, the Lord spoke to me, and because I was talking to the Lord about I wonder what kind of things you've shown him. And he said, I was showing Albert all the blessings, all the way he blessed people in his life. I was showing him all the people that he blessed from way back and all that was just blessed by his life. And he said, I did not show him hell because I didn't need to. He was already mine. So I thought, whoa, thank you, Jesus.
Praise God forevermore.
He's the Lord. And he's with thank Jesus. And,
amen. Lord, and we pray for Debbie's trip down there, that she's protected all the way down there. There's not going to be any problems whatsoever. And we praise you, Father, for a quick trip down and a quick trip back, and your angels be with her every inch of the way. Lord, give her wisdom to say the things that she needs to say. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And let the love of God just pour out from her to the people around her. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. I won't be going again until October.
Till October? Okay.
October will be his, that's going to have their memorial.
Okay.
Celebration, they're calling it.
Well, Lord, you can even look into the future and do that. And I thank you for doing it. For, amen. If we don't get to, it's already done. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Debbie. That's an awesome testimony to God's goodness.
Awesome God. Praise you, Lord. Jesus.
Just like I said many times before, his grace extends far above and beyond what we can even imagine. Glory to God. That's awesome. Amen. All right. We're out of time. Man, it went by quick. I'll send that stuff to you, Andrew and Ben, here shortly, just a minute. That I sent everybody else to charge us. All right, Lord, we just thank you for another wonderful evening with you. We thank you, Father, for everybody's obedience to the word and what you've spoken. And we thank you, Father, that you're giving us bold faith to believe you for anything and everything that we need. There is no lack with God's people. And we praise you for that, Father. And we ask, Father, that you give everybody a great night's sleep, to be supernaturally supercharged in the morning, to bound out of bed and start praising you, Lord. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, good night, y'all. God bless you. And I love you. Glory to God.